It's been made clear, though, today that it's a special day. As we had that special tribute to our fathers at the very beginning of our time of worship, to honor those exceptional people in our lives that we call Dad. It is Father's Day, and just like Mother's Day this year, I felt very spurred by the Holy Spirit to preach a Father's Day message, just like Mother's Day. And we're going to be talking about, just like Mother's Day, the characteristics of a godly father today. However, just like on Mother's Day, ladies, you're not exempt or off the hook today, because these characteristics apply to all of God's people, as they are the characteristics of God's children. But in particular, today I want to highlight those that are predominantly for our fathers, because they do apply to all, but they especially apply to those who are fathers. With this said, when I began preparing this message today, I thought it would be almost identical to our Mother's Day message. Like, we would examine different fathers that are found in the scriptures and look at how they demonstrated the godly characteristics of fatherhood. However, I was hard-pressed. Not that there aren't numerous wonderful fathers in the scriptures, but they're also very fallen men, infected with sin just like us. Just like the mothers we looked at had some deep character flaws, that they too were stuck in a world of sin. I went to David. I mean, King David, a man who is after God's own heart. Well, David was an adulterer and a murderer. Sin would cause rebellion within his own family. One of his own sons would try to overthrow him as king, would try to have him killed. What about Samuel, the prophet? A respected judge in Israel. However, his role as a father is presented as a mixed one in terms of opinion. His sons, Joel and Abijah, did not follow his ways, it says, becoming corrupt and taking bribes. And this failure led Israel to tell Samuel, "We don't want your sons as judges over us. We want a king like every other nation," effectively rejecting God's rule. Now, while the Bible doesn't explicitly state that Samuel was a bad father, the text highlights an apparent failure in his parenting, as many interpret this, that Samuel may have been too focused on his duty as a judge and a prophet, neglecting his own sons. Others suggest that he underestimated the importance of actively being present for his children in an evil world. And isn't that what we see all too often today in our own culture? What about the patriarchs? Abraham. Ooh, let's not talk about that. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses. Moses, he's one, right? All men of God, all fathers, all deeply flawed by sin. And this shows us a fundamental truth we must all understand, especially as dads. Father's Day can be a day when we feel beat up because of our failures and our sins. No, you are not alone. You stand in the company of a great cloud of witnesses. These wonderful men that we revere in Scripture, who also had failure and sins. Know that you are not alone, and there's no such thing as a perfect human father. Even for those fathers we know and love, and I'm sure it would not take us long to kind of find that deep flaw within them due to the sin within them, because we are all fallen. Even our fictional fathers in entertainment have their flaws. However, we must understand that this is not a scapegoat just to write off our duty as fathers and our need to seek to continually to be more and more who God has called us to be, because Dad, you matter more than this world would care to admit. You are needed more than ever. Even men who are not biological fathers, the world's children need you. They need you to raise up and be the reflection of God and be that father of the fatherless, as the psalmist says in 68:5. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation, which is one of the many characteristics of a godly father. But here is the thing, men. Whether you are a dad or not, our young people need you as mentors and guides. They need you as examples. Even those who have fathers need you. Statistically speaking, young people need at least 5 other adults of faith to help them grow and be nurtured into the faith. They need other adults in their lives than their parents that are going to encourage them and spur them on to love and good deeds, which is why I rejoice. And I mean it, I rejoice that my children have you, this family of families, and how you are all actively involved in our lives, because that's what it means to be family. I rejoice that my daughter now is in the underground with Lucas and with Danny and the many youth leaders we have, because I know that they're investing their lives into the children. They are giving a part of themselves to them. It takes a village. It takes a village because we are all flawed in ourselves. I'm not exempt. I have made some really bad mistakes as a father, and I'm sure my kids would testify to that. I'm sure there's going to be that phone call one day. Dad, why'd you mess me up so much? And I'll explain to Lucas, you were the first. I didn't know what I was doing. The point is, we need fathers and mentors, especially those who are fatherless need fathers and mentors. And let me tell you, I'm entirely a product of those who were willing to be a father to the fatherless. Whether it was my grandfather, my Taekwondo instructor, my cross-country coaches, a dear family friend, or even my mother. They're all part of who I am today because they were there when no one else was there to fill that role in my life. Never sell yourself short, men. You are needed. Despite our shortcomings, the past failures and sins, past, present, future, let me tell you, I know I'm not exempt from that either. You are needed. Know that Jesus died for you too, so that there could be forgiveness, and in that forgiveness, there could be repentance that leads to change in our lives, so that in all of our failures, we can rise to the occasion to do better. I pray that one day I will hear, though my children will probably complain about my parenting when they're adults, Dad, but you were always there. You were always there. In Christ, in our brokenness, we can have hope that there is room for improvement and that we can become more like the men God intends us to be as fathers despite our failures, because there is forgiveness, redemption, and Jesus has provided us the way, the truth, and the life, as he says, to help us rise to the challenges that are set before us. We can take comfort in the fact that there is no such thing as a perfect father, because there is no such thing as a perfect human. Well, there was one, but we crucified him. Who then? Who are we to look to learn the characteristics of a godly father? There is only one, and that is who Jesus points us to, him, our heavenly Father. In an excellent teaching, he begins to do this for us, something that we call the Lord's Prayer, found in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, starting with the very first verse where it says, "Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Our heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, because as followers of Jesus, just like Aida taught us yesterday at the inspirational arts and crafts class, he is our Father. As in Jesus, we have truly become children of God. He has adopted us into his family. Because of this, Jesus teaches us that we can approach him as our Father in heaven, because this is who he is. In fact, it is the most commonly used relational term that God gives us. It is the one he uses throughout his word. Of course, there's other relational terms that God uses to describe his relationship with us, but Father is prevalent throughout the Word of God. He is our Creator, our King, God Almighty, maker of the heavens and the earth, and he calls you his child. Jacob, he calls you son. Mary, he calls you daughter. Cole, he calls you son. Kaylee, he calls you daughter. He calls all of you son. He calls all of you daughter. Because that is who you are. He calls us his own. John puts it this way in his first pastoral epistle in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. We are beloved children of God, loved beyond imagination by our heavenly Father. And not only this, he allows us and encourages us to call him our Father. But not just Father as we would use the word Father. Something else that Aida really taught us about this last Saturday, yesterday. He invites us to call him our Abba. The deepest and most intimate name in the biblical languages to express Father. That intimate relationship that is shared between a son and his actual father. You didn't just call anyone your Abba. You called your father Abba. Abba signified the closest relationship to a child. Abba is their daddy. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. As Jesus teaches us to pray, our Abba, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. This opening of the prayer, powerful in itself, it continues on though. As we go into verse 11, he teaches us the first thing to pray after we pray for his will to be done, his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Then he tells us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. A prayer we can pray with confidence, as Jesus will soon say, in the same teaching moment in Matthew in chapter 7, verses 7 through 11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Understanding that this is a present active participle. These three verbs, ask, meaning keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on keeping on. For everyone who keeps on asking, receives. And the one who keeps on seeking, finds. And the one who keeps on knocking will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? I don't know. Sometimes I think you deserve a stone. I digress. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? You know I wouldn't do that because I wouldn't even go near a snake. The point being, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and yes, take notice, Jesus just called y'all evil. Because we are. We're all full of sin. But if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Our perfect Father, if we can do good for our children, how much more good can he do? When we can go to our perfectly loving, perfectly perfect Father and to request our daily bread, our daily need. Give us this day our daily bread. Showing us the first characteristic we're going to be looking at today about the characteristics of a godly father. And that is, a godly father provides for his family. A father who provides for his children. He provides basic needs without question or hesitation. A godly father selflessly gives of themselves, just as God, our Father, gave of himself in and through Jesus Christ to provide for our needs. Not just our physical needs, but our emotional, our social, our spiritual needs. He provided for us holistically as a godly father provides for his family. As Jesus continues in verse 12, we find that a godly characteristic of a godly father is they are forgiving, merciful, and compassionate to their children. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Not just forgiveness, though, but to have mercy and compassion and grace, as the Word of God shows us our Heavenly Father has for us. Grace, unmerited favor, by nature of just being his children. Is this not the call all fathers have with their children? Not that this would mean godly fathers do not discipline, correct, or guide, which is something we're going to talk about more here in just a moment. But in that discipline, in that correction and guidance, we practice mercy. We practice compassion and grace because they are our children. And who does not love their children in such a way that they wouldn't provide them direction? We love our children because we want to give them direction. We want them to be the best that they can be. It is no wonder why the Boy Scouts doesn't let their parents sit on any of their board of reviews, especially their Eagle board of review. No matter how much you petition and ask if you can, they won't let you. Because we tend to be more gracious to our own children than we do others. We tend to let things slide a little bit more because we tend to show more patience with our children than we do with others. I think about David and his response to the news of the death of his son. The one who tried to kill him. The one who tried to overthrow the kingdom, made him have to flee Jerusalem, live in the hills, who pursued him for his life. Despite this, despite his son being his enemy, David's response found in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 33, is so telling of this truth that godly fathers are forgiving of their children, just like our Heavenly Father is forgiving of his children. And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber. This is after he found out his son Absalom was killed. He went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son." Be not mistaken, Absalom was an enemy of David's. Though his son, Absalom sought his father's life and kingdom. We don't see David weeping over his other enemies that try to kill him. We see him rejoicing at this time period in his life. He rejoices that God delivers him from his enemies. But here he weeps. He reaps. He even says, "Would I not have died instead of him? I would trade places with him." He is deeply grieved by what has taken place in his son's life. And isn't that just like God, our Heavenly Father? Isn't that exactly what God did for us through Jesus? As Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." As Jesus took our place, stood in the gap, yet while we were sinners, while we were at our worst, our Heavenly Father's enemies, illegitimate children, he sent Jesus to die so that his wrath could be satisfied and we could once again be legitimate children of God, beloved by our Heavenly Father. Godly fathers provide for their children's needs at the cost of their very lives and walk in forgiveness with their children, even when the price paid isn't recognized by them, leading us to the third characteristic we find in Jesus' prayer. Verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This shows us that godly fathers also protect those in their care. As God our Father promises protection over us. This theme of protection is woven throughout the scriptures, especially in the Psalms. We see him as our defender, our strong tower, our firm foundation, our fortress, our tower, our shield. The metaphors go on and on because that is who he is. He is our protector. He is our covering. He can and does deliver us from all temptation and evil. He protects us even when we do not know we need protecting, just like our earthly fathers have, because this is an evident characteristic of a godly father, and that is being a protector. We may never know the arrows the enemy has fired that our earthly fathers have stepped in front of to take for us. And they went unacknowledged, unthanked, and unnoticed. But despite this, they still protected us, their children. Another often unseen characteristic of a godly father is their discipline of us, though, which is our next characteristic we'll look at. Not only are there a ton of Proverbs that speak to this reality that fathers should discipline their children, but no passage of Scripture says it like Hebrews 12, 7 through 11. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Beside this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Have you ever felt like God was disciplining you? I know I have. I know there's been times in my life and in my journey with Christ where there was that unrepented sin in my life, and boy, it just kept nipping at me and nagging at me and tearing me apart inside. He wanted to root it out of my life, and that's exactly what he did. It's precisely what he did. He changed my heart, and that change happened through heartache because I'm a stubborn man. I'm a sinful man. I was an illegitimate child, but praise the Lord, he did not leave me there. He came and he died for you and me so that we could be precious, legitimate children once again of God. And he doesn't discipline us out of sheer rage and abuse, because rage and abuse are not discipline. He is not disciplining us out of wrath, because we are legitimate children of God. The price for his wrath has been paid in full, and we're free from that. Instead, he is disciplining us out of love, care, and compassion for you. Even though, as it says in the first part of verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Anyone that's ever been disciplined in their life, you know that in the moment, it definitely isn't something that's pleasant. Not at all. The author continues to say, but later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. No, God wants your best, not your worst. As our Heavenly Father, and he gives us this example, as earthly fathers, we should want what's best for our children, not their worst. Not even wanting what the second best is, but the best. I can often think of this as the truth of my relationship with my children. However, I can also think of all the times my discipline was out of order. It was not out of love and compassion. And this is why Heavenly Fathers, godly fathers who seek to imitate their Heavenly Father, decide to put aside the rage, the anger, but seek mercy and compassion, wanting what's best for their children. Only the best and nothing but the best. And in this, the final characteristic, in our discipline, we guide and direct. We correct. As we've explored all these various disciplines today, how godly fathers provide for their children. They are merciful and forgiving, protects their family, disciplines their children, and most of all, they guide and direct. Just like our Heavenly Father guides and directs us. Because if discipline is to yield that peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it, we must understand that just like a child learning to ride a bike and a father helping, every time he falls down, we encourage them. We kiss their boo-boos, dust them off, give them advice to how to do better, and we invite them to try again. Remembering, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And God gives us this great demonstration of what it means to be a godly father right here, is that even when our children would rebel, and they would be faithless to us, we are to always remain faithful to them, guiding and directing them, being willing to come in and reach out and help them no matter what, understanding that He is the Father waiting and watching for His sons and daughters to come home. And He has given us the exact means we need so that we can come home, and we need to give those instructions as well the best we can by and through the power in which He has given us. Power we see in John chapter 16 verses 12 through 13. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, who will be sent by the Father, by the way? Jesus just got done explaining how He's leaving, and that the Father isn't going to leave them alone. He's not going to leave them as orphans, but they're going to be sent the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. A godly Father does the same, constantly providing correction, wisdom, and guidance to His children so they would continue to grow and be nurtured into the fullness of life that Jesus has. They do this in discipline and out of pure love for their children. A godly Father is a guiding light to His children's lives, demonstrating the character of Christ by and through His actions and words. What more can be said? So much more can be said. But there's not enough time in just a single sermon on a Sunday morning to really highlight it all. But these five characteristics, how a godly Father provides for His family, is merciful and forgiving, protects His family, disciplines His children, guides and directs. This could actually lead many to think, oh, geez, how am I supposed to do that? I know as I was preparing this, I was thinking of all the times I've tried and failed. If you're feeling like that, let today be the day that you know you don't have to climb Everest all at once. Let today be the day where you take a deep breath and take your fatherhood to the Lord and ask, how do I cultivate these characteristics, knowing that ultimately the goal here, the ultimate goal in all of this, is a godly Father reflects the image of God, the Father, to their children, so that their children would know God. I want what's best for my children, yes. And you know what's best for them? That they would know Jesus and be known by Him. Nothing else in this world matters but that one thing. To know Jesus and to be known by Him. And so may we, as men, ask God where we are weak. Seek God for His guidance. Our Heavenly Father, who gives us these wonderful characteristics so that we can be known by Him and know Him and ask Him to help keep us growing. More importantly, know you're not alone, but with time, with care, perseverance, and discipline, rise to the moment and build these characteristics into your life and be the father that God intended you to be. Even if your kids are all grown and out of the house, you're always going to be dad. That will never change. And that means you matter. You matter more than you could ever imagine. God relates to us as Father. That means something. Lord, grant us wisdom to embody the characteristics of a godly Father, where we are needed, how we are needed, for who needs us. Help us to love unconditionally, pursue righteousness, provide and protect our families. Help us to walk in forgiveness, not provoking our children to anger, to bitterness and wrath, but disciplining them out of love and compassion, wanting what is best for them, providing for them correction, direction, and guidance, seeking You first and always to become the fathers You have created us to be. And it is in Your name we pray. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever.